It's time for our weekly review of state news stories. President Trump came to Wisconsin this week for Foxconn's groundbreaking ceremony. He also continued his criticism of Harley-Davidson's decision to move some of their manufacturing operations overseas in the midst of escalating tariffs. Speaking of tariffs, Wisconsin's cheese industry is assessing what impact they might feel as a trade war heats up. And some Wisconsin lawmakers want to meet with a judge about the sentence given to a man convicted of several sexual assaults. Robert Menser is a statewide living and storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin, based in Wausau. He joins us every week at this time. Rob, welcome back to the show.
Why, thank you.
Well, let's start with the president's visit to Wisconsin yesterday for the Foxconn groundbreaking. Talk about the event a little bit.
Sure, big week for Foxconn stuff. I mean, they say it's a groundbreaking, Rob, but I mean, they've been working on it. Construction has been going on for weeks at the place. But this is the politicians' big day. The president was there. Governor Scott Walker was there. Foxconn CEO Terry Goh. And they did all the, you know, pomp and ceremony politicians like to do on these events. They're shoveling dirt. They're unveiling, you know, models and renderings and talking up the economic impact of the project.
And we had WEDIC Secretary Mark Hogan on the show yesterday, and he'd been at the event, and he and I think the governor have been hitting the point hard, making the case that this isn't just southeastern Wisconsin, that companies on the supply chain and construction and so forth are going to see benefits around the state. That seems to be a big selling point that they're pushing here.
Yeah, they announced some contracts with a steel company in Merrill and some other, you know, other manufacturers around the state. So yeah, for sure that is the message. They're not wrong. Like there are effects that are going to be felt statewide.
And there's been some polling in the Marquette Law School poll showing not universal support, I think it's fair to say, for Foxconn, especially in other parts of the state. Rob, do you see this being a marquee issue in the race for governor in the state legislature this year?
Yeah, I think that the decision to make it a marquee issue was cast very shortly after the deal was announced in the first place. So, the results aren't real strong. There's a plurality of respondents in that most recent poll who were skeptical. 46% said they did not think that the deal would pay off for Wisconsin's economy. 40% thought it would. 13% did not know. I think that both Governor Walker and Democrats have placed their respective bets on opposite sides of that issue. And for sure, it's a central campaign issue.
And also the president, he was praising this Foxconn plant in Wisconsin. Also, I think this was at a fundraiser. He again criticized Harley-Davidson, one of the state's most iconic brands. Here's the president addressing the issue during that visit.
Harley-Davidson, please build those beautiful motorcycles in the USA, please, okay? Don't get cute with us. Don't get cute.
So talk us through the story of Harley-Davidson and dueling tariffs, Rob.
So, yeah, so this stems from the Trump administration's announcement of new tariffs on steel and aluminum made outside the U.S. And what it means is new taxes on steel that comes from, you know, wherever, from Europe or Canada or wherever. In response to this, the European Union said that it would add a 31% tax on motorcycles that are made in the U.S. So in response to that, Harley said, okay, well, we're going to move some of our production overseas to avoid that tax for motorcycles that they want to sell in the European market. That is a rational decision for the company to make, but obviously it undercuts Trump's trade war, and Trump really does not like that. So, yeah, he made sure to mention that after. And the reason this is the context of it is he's been on a, you know, in a Twitter war with Harley-Davidson all week leading up to this big, you know, event in Wisconsin. He's fighting with one of Wisconsin's largest manufacturing employers.
And how have leading Wisconsin Republicans kind of caught in the middle here? How have they responded to all this?
Republicans don't like the tariffs, by and large. Senator Ron Johnson has said so. Governor Scott Walker has said so, but it's like none of them want to be in a frontal assault with the president. So they have made their views known. It's conservatives tend to favor free trade policies. It is not that. So, you know, they're not supporting it, but also, like, no one really, you know, it's not like anyone's going out of their way in the Republican Party to fight with the president either.
And speaking of tariffs, there's concern now about how European Union, in particular, retaliatory tariffs could hit Wisconsin's cheese industry. I've also seen reports, I think NPR reported this, some Canadians avoiding American produce, I think including cheese. Talk about what Wisconsin dairy farmers and industry experts are worried about.
Yeah, this is the other significant tariff story. It has a serious, in some cases, devastating effect on Wisconsin cheese, Wisconsin dairy farmers. So, like a lot of American farmers, dairy farmers rely on international markets. So, so Mexico, in response to the same new taxes on steel and aluminum that the Trump administration declared, placed their own new taxes of between 15% and 25% on U.S. cheese. So in turn, that affects the price of milk. There are a lot of Wisconsin farmers then who are stuck dealing with those effects. So the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel interviewed an industry analyst who said that in the short term, Wisconsin dairy farms could be losing 20% of their income each month. So that, I mean, that's serious. According to him, it's about a $75 million per month drop in revenues to dairy farms.
And I think I saw the statistic in that same piece, something like 90% of Wisconsin milk is destined to become Wisconsin cheese.
Right, that's right. Yeah, exactly. So if a buyer, international buyer, Mexico, whatever the market is, effectively raises the price of U.S. cheese, it has real ripple effects.
Talking to Rob Mentzer from USA Today Network Wisconsin, looking at some of the top stories in state news this week. Rob, we touched on this story last week, the sentencing of Alec Cook, and there's some response from lawmakers now. First, remind us of what happened in that case and the sentencing.
Sure. Alec Cook was a UW-Madison student, and he was a serial rapist. He was shown to be a repeat offender in court. He ended up pleading guilty in exchange for a number of drop charges, but even with the charges that remained, there were sexual assault charges against multiple women. And the prosecutors asked for 20 years, 19 and a half years in prison, and he got 3 years in prison.
So this week we've got 5 Wisconsin legislators and 2 Dane County supervisors expressing outrage about what they said was a far too lenient sentence given by Dane County Judge Stephen Elke. UW-Madison Chief of Police also expressed deep disappointment. Can you talk about some of the response you're seeing to this sentence?
Right. So this group of legislators, the UW-Madison campus chief, this follows last week. The state attorney general said the same, that he felt that the justice wasn't served in this case. So this is, I mean, there's a lot of political pressure being brought to bear on this case. You know, it isn't for me to say what is or isn't right or the right sentence or whatever, but it is the case that we have a system where judges are insulated from a lot of politics, but not totally insulated from politics. Judges in Wisconsin are elected. They can be recalled. For better or worse, that is the system that we have where, you know, the political appeals like this, there is some way that they can get traction.
And Rob, I want to turn to a story. This is one I hadn't seen much until you shared some of the reporting on this. Going back to Pearl Harbor, the attack on Pearl Harbor on December 7th, 1941, one of the many Americans who lost their lives there were a Navy pharmacist from Wisconsin, a pharmacist mate John Schoonover, originally of Port Edwards. Can you tell us this story?
Right. John Schoonover from Central Wisconsin, from Port Edwards, died in the bombing at Pearl Harbor, and he's been buried. He was buried in a mass grave site in Hawaii. So it was known that he died in the bombing, but they never specifically identified his remains. So there have been a lot of advances in DNA testing, DNA analysis, and more recently, the Department of Defense issued a mandate that remains at these sites should be exhumed and should be analyzed. And this led to the identification of Schoonover's remains. And this week, he was laid to rest at a naval cemetery near the Pensacola Naval Air Station, where his son, who was 4 years old when he died and now lives in Florida, says that he'll be buried as well.
And his son went in the Navy himself.
Yeah, his son had 45 years in the Navy, so it was a family tradition. And he said that it was a lot of, he had a full, military funeral, honor guard. He said that it brought real closure to him as well.
We'll leave it there for this week. Rob, good to talk with you.
Thank you.
That's Robert Mentzer, statewide living and storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin. He's based in Wausau. He joins us every week at this time to take a look back at some of the top state news stories.